up the authorized version of the Holy Scripture that you'll find in front of you in the pew, and turn with me to the New Testament, to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. You'll find it at the page 239 in your Bible there in the pew. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're reading the first 10 verses of this chapter, and we read it together, everyone taking part from the Lord's Day morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, according to our works, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his very own infallible book. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, our motto text for the incoming year. If you haven't received your little card, then get it as you leave the service, and make sure you take it with you and put it in your Bible, and that will remind you of the text and the outline of this sermon. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. The Bible has much to say about fear, but its reference to fear must be closely attended to, because the word fear in the Bible stands for two opposite things. There is, of course, a fear that is God-given, God-sustained, and God-glorified. The fear of the Lord. The filial fear of the Lord. There is another fear that has its origin in sin and wickedness, a product of hell, which eventually would take the soul into the blackness of hell forever. The one is the father of liberty. The other is father of bondage. The first is godly fear. The second is ungodly fear. It was Paschal, the great contender against Romanism, who said there is a virtuous fear, which is the effect of faith. And there is a vicious fear, which is the product of doubt. The former leads to hope, as relying on God in whom we believe. The latter inclines to despair, as not relying on God in whom we do not believe. Persons of the one character fear to lose God. Persons of the other character fear to find Him. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, Paul the Apostle speaks of this slavish fear, this hellish fear, and he calls it the fear of death. That through death, the Lord Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Subject our souls to the imprisonment of fear and death, and destroy us from enjoying the perfect peace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Wave after wave of the dark waters of devilish fear have at times beset the people of God. But God offers to us all for this year three great alternatives, three master weapons whereby this slavish fear can be completely triumphed over and can be completely destroyed. If you read the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll find example after example of those who suffered from satanic fears. Adam in Genesis 3:10. Cain in Genesis 4:14. The Midianites in Judges 7:21 and 22. The Philistines in 1 Samuel 14:15. Saul in 1 Samuel 28, 5 and 20. Adonijah's guest, 1 Kings 1, 49. Haman in Esther 7, verse 6. Ahaz in Isaiah 7, verse 2. Belshazzar in Daniel 5, 6. Pilate in James 19, 8. And Felix, Acts 24:25, Pilate in John's Gospel. But there are others who were not held in bondage, who had deliverance from those fears. That is seen in Abraham, Genesis 22, verse 12. In Joseph, in Genesis 39, verse 9. In Obadiah in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 12. In Nehemiah chapter 15:15, Nehemiah himself. Job in the first chapter of the book of Job, verses 1 to 8. The early Christians in Acts 9:31. Cornelius in Acts 10 and 2. And Noah in Hebrews 11 and 7. For God hath not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power
and of love, and of a sound mind. Now everything in the Bible is tied into a glorious liberty and unity. And there's no subject in the Bible that does not have this wonderful unity about it. So as I sat at my desk and looked at this text and thought of the temptation of the devil and thought of the power of the devil that he uses to seek to destroy the people of God, to destroy their peace and their joy and their love and their Christian testimony and their hope, I thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I thought about the Lord Jesus Christ, I thought about this text. Christ was tempted by the devil. And as he was tempted by the devil, Christ made the alternative choice. The first temptation, the Lord Jesus Christ made the choice of power. Second temptation, the Lord Jesus Christ made the choice of love. And in the third temptation, our Lord Jesus Christ made the choice of a sound mind. If you look carefully at the story of our Lord's temptation, you will discover how wonderful this is set out in a wonderful manner. I draw your attention. I draw your attention to the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you take your Bible and look with me over into Matthew's Gospel and just mark carefully the narrative of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 of Matthew. The devil comes to challenge the authority, the deity, and the work and mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God didn't lead the Lord Jesus to flee from the devil. The Spirit of God led the Lord Jesus to go into the wilderness that he might be tempted of the devil. Because the Lord wants the devil to flee, and not the Christian to flee, and not our Lord to flee. And when the devil met up with Christ, what did he say? First of all, remember the first alternative. It has to do with power. And he said to the Lord, he said, "You're hungry. You fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now here's a stone. And if you're the Son of God, you can change that stone into a great loaf of bread. Command this stone now to become a loaf of bread. And you eat of it and partake of it, and you'll be no longer hungry." That was the devil's temptation. Because the devil wants to put into us the spirit of fear. But the Lord Jesus said to him, "Man shall not live by bread alone, Bread alone does not keep man alive, but man lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And in the dark wilderness, my Savior took the alternative, and the alternative was not natural power, but spiritual power, the power of the blessed Word of God. No Christian needs to walk through the world like a moaning mini, looking at all the dark sides of the Christian life. Brother, you have to look on the light side. God has called us to experience His power. Power that satisfies. Nothing happened to the Lord because He didn't have bread after 40 days. He lived to win our souls to God by His sacrifice for us on the cross. You don't lose anything by obeying God. In fact, you gain everything if you obey God. So in that dark temptation, and as I sat at my desk, and I closed my eyes, and I thought about the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, then hunger, and here is a devil coming now to tempt him to take the road of human power. And the Lord says, no, I'm taking the alternative. I'm going for the spiritual power of God. God has not given us again the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of power. And look at the second time. Look at verse 5 of Matthew chapter 4. What does it say? Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou diest thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ come to this world to be lifted up? Isn't that what he said? He said, if I be lifted up. But here we have the devil offering to Christ a way apart from the shedding of His precious blood. He says, all right, you want to be lifted up? Well, you can be lifted up. And you can cast yourself down. But there'll be no death involved in it. There'll be no blood shedding involved in it. This is my way for you. But it was a way without love. Jesus Christ was lifted up for you and me because He loved us. He was lifted up for you and me because it was in that lifting up He could shed His precious blood. And remember, the most powerful weapon that God has, and I say that with great sincerity and strength, you know what it is? To defeat the devil, the blood of the Lamb. That's the way of the overcomer. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And there in the darkness of that wilderness, the devil tempts my blessed Savior and says, here is a way without any suffering. Here is a way without any bloodshedding. Oh, you'll be lifted up. But the Lord Jesus says, no. My alternative to your power is spiritual power from God.
my alternative to your lifting up is my lifting up upon the cross. Aren't you glad today the Lord Jesus Christ took that road? If he had not taken that road, there would have been no redemption, no salvation, no pardon, and you would be lost, and I would be lost in the darkness and blindness of hell forever. But hallelujah! Jesus took the alternative. He has taught, he wants to teach us something, that in every temptation, we must do the same thing. The temptation of Christ is special. It's beyond us all, a mystery that God would submit himself to the temptation of the devil. I can't explain that theologically, I believe it. That's what it says in the book. But let me tell you this, the Lord Jesus Christ triumphed. He refused the power of the devil. He accepted the power of God. He refused the uplifting of the devil. He accepted the uplifting of God. All men will be drawn to him. And then we come to the last temptation. Look at it carefully. He taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he says, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And the Lord looked at Christ, Christ looked at the devil, and he said, you're out of your mind, Satan. This is not the language of a sound mind, that the devil could give all the kingdoms of the world into the hands of Christ. The devil is a liar from the beginning and abode not in truth. And all these I will give you. And look what the Lord Jesus Christ says. The Lord Jesus Christ says, no, I have chosen the alternative of a sound mind. And what does the sound mind say? Verse 10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So when he was offered power, he rejected it and took the alternative of God's power. When he was ordered away to be exalted, he rejected it and took God's way of exaltation, which was the cross. Love. And when he was offered the kingdoms of this world, he refused them. He said to the devil, that is not the language of a sound mind. That's the language of the madness of hell that has destroyed you from ever having your place back again in the presence of my Father and myself and the Holy Spirit in the heaven of heavens. And so the Lord Jesus Christ took the alternatives. The challenge of this message is, are we going to live in misery during this year? Or are we going to live enjoying the Lord? Are we going to go God's way or our own stupid, sinful way? Are we going to obey the Word of God? Who would have thought that in the first chapter of Timothy, you would have such a wonderful explanation of the temptation of Jesus Christ? Why? Because this Bible, in all its doctrine, has a spiritual unity and a spiritual blessing. If we only opened our eyes, we'd behold wondrous things out of God's law. I was telling my son and I, we talk every Saturday night about what we're preaching on. We exchange our views on various texts. And I said, how about this? And I heard across the phone his little laugh. And he said, where did you get that, Daddy? Well, I'll tell you where I got it from the Holy Ghost sitting at my desk. And I said, I have some 20,000 volumes in my library, but it's not in any one of them. But it's in the book. It's in the book. Oh, that we had eyes to see what's in this book. Thank God we can go out into this new year. And this is going to be a grim year. And it's going to be a tough year. And we're going to see things happen in Europe that we never dreamed of could happen. And we're going to see things happen in our own country that we never dreamed of could happen. And the whole of this planet of ours is going to rock to and fro like a drunkard man. But if we take God's alternatives, we'll get the victory. And we will see the devil defeated. I like the last bit of this gospel. It says, then the devil leaveth. The devil had enough. Couldn't take any more. May I tell you, if you're living, walking with God, you'll give the devil so much that he'll be steering clear of you. Think of a man of God and the devil's afraid to go near him. Why? Because he's walking God's way. And that's what the Lord wants us, to have the devil scared. I remember Mr. Nicholson saying to me once, I was having great meetings in Bellamina, and hundreds of people were coming to Christ. And he said, you know what's happened in Bellamina? And I said, I know that people have been saved and the worst sinners are getting saved. He says, the devil is scared. He doesn't know what's going to happen next. And he says he's just waiting for one of his greatest sinners, one of his greatest companions. He's going to get word down in hell. He's got saved in the Bellamina mission. He's no longer one of yours anymore. My, that's what revival is. When the word of God comes with power, the devil is caught out completely. And he sees the worst of the best of his soldiers convert to Christ and becoming the best possible Christian. That's the victory. And the Lord has called us to that victory. So I am looking forward to this year. I'm looking forward that we'll not be overcome by the spirit of fear. And I'm talking about servile fear. This fear that makes us scared. Not the godly fear of people of God. And I trust we'll take the alternatives. And we'll know what it is to experience the power of God. And we've never experienced it before. We'll know what it is to experience the love of God. And we've never known it before. And we'll know what it is to have a sound mind. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our fear. Let us walk in the victory of God for Jesus' sake. Amen.